My Dear Fiona by Frances Rosenfeld. Chapter 27, Riding a Horse of Fire. The clashing of swords was overwhelming, the sky filled with dirt and thunderheads. There I saw them in the lightning, riding their winged horses with their hair in the wind. In the middle of the battle I saw you too, Fiona, and couldn't recognize you, as you rode across the field looking very much their equal, cutting a wide path through the enemy troops like a scythe through high grass, with far-reaching, terrifying sway, looking ageless like an idol, and just like it unable to feel sorrow, anger, or hurt. Your face still lingers in my memory, although it looked young, your eyes were wise and hard, just like Jerun's. Even in death, she was with you, her courage, strength and fearlessness watching over you. We have been blessed to live in peaceful times and never experience such a scene, not to mention take part in it, and it was so shocking and terrifying to me I can't draw breath, Fiona, to see a child like you bear down on the battlefield swinging that giant sword of yours that looked too heavy to lift, like a vengeful angel riding a horse of fire. Many a sword redden claims, that a farmer's daughter wad born, to cause sorrow, I care little for men's fear. Yet, if a certain fire gefn denies me sleep, it is certainly the sagacious sister of the ruler, who causes my unrest. In the middle of the attack, I caught a glimpse of your eyes. You recognized me and charged at me with your spear and your sword and rode straight through me with such violence it made me stand up in bed, gasping for air. Are you okay, Louise? Denise's eyes were the first thing I saw, very close to my face and filled with worry. It was just a dream, I babbled, still rearing from the apocalyptic imagery. I'm starting to understand why you decided it was best to not share certain details of your life with me, even though it seems strange that a child should be the one to protect me from the horrors of war. What was it? Denise insisted, annoyed by my hesitation. Spill, Ethel. Fiona, I mumbled. I saw her in battle. And? Denise continued probing, irritated. And what? You were sobbing loudly, tears were streaming down your face. Tell your princess to cut it out. It was just a dream. Ah. You emerged victorious from that battle, Fiona, I can tell, but that victory extinguished the light in your eyes and took away all your joy. Watching your heart turn to stone hurt almost as much as witnessing the horrors on the battlefield. In war, there is no victory, no choice, no glory, only loss. We are careless in protecting our peace, eager to kick it aside like a useless blanket, unable to remember the wide-eyed horror its flimsy fabric protects us from, a horror we were privileged to eschew long enough to forget. A peace to last 1,000 years, what an impossible dream that might have seemed in your times, Fiona. Walking the old stone streets of Kirkwall now makes it hard to imagine there could be anything but that, peace, contentment and love. What if it really is as easy as being unable to imagine a future that does not look like that? I am wrapping up my research here and the more I learn the more likely it seems you lived in the 10th century, and if you were ever brought to Queen, it was to visit and pay your respects, just like me, and it probably felt like an ancient sight to you as well back then. I can only assume you were laid to rest on a long boat, in full regalia, and buried with it, and that I will never find you, hidden as you are under the bluffs of Orkney until such time when the sea might ordains us humans worthy of your story and uses its might to uncover you and return you to us, like it did with so many other of its ancient sites. It is fitting poetry for you to have left this land on a boat, the same way you arrived to it. I'm sure when you embarked on your last journey you were as unencumbered and fearless as you were when you first laid eyes on the green shores of Orkney, and that you met your fate with your eyes open, upholding the dignity and authority of your rank. The more I learn about the islands, the more I realize you shielded your true story from me on purpose, so that I'd keep searching for you and discover their mysteries in the process. It was never about you, was it, my princess? Even after all this time, the story of Orkney is not about you. Part historical record, part myth, part oral tradition, the story of Orkney is like a barely scraped palimpsest which records thousands of years, in layer after layer of human habitation, all tied together by the incredible bond its dwellers have to their land and the unexpected beauty of life in the Northern Isles. I have to hand it to Denise, her help was invaluable, and I couldn't have finished my work on time without her. Maybe that's how people discover their calling, by accidentally running into situations and activities. Not. Anyway, fond of archival research or not, she helped. Can we stay over the winter? Please, 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 Louise, with cherries on top? She asked in her sweetest, most cajoling voice. I don't know, Denise. I kind of finished the work. I'm not sure how I can justify staying here for another 3 months. Please, Louise, for me? They have a storytelling festival. And Northern Lights. Did I mention the Northern Lights? Repeatedly. So, can we stay? Why don't we move here permanently? I joked. Oh, come on, Ethel, what are you worried about? You study ancient bones. I'm sure they'll still be there when you return to the Institute. Don't you want to have any genuine experiences in this life? What would Dad say? Well, no, obviously. What about it? There was no point in trying to get sensible choices out of Denise or expect her to conform to any social norms. My rational approach was dead on arrival. Hey, can you try to expand that grant to include a study of the souterrains? They're everywhere around Kirkwall. I think I saw one in the backyard of the building behind us. We wouldn't even have to leave the city. I hesitated, so she looked at me with renewed hope. You know, I've become quite interested in doing this kind of research. You have not. I protested in the name of truth. Okay, I have not. Can we stay anyway? I'll help for real, I promise. The magic of Orkney had enchanted my sister, and I kind of felt she would never want to leave. I'll think about it, I reluctantly agreed. Yes, great. Denise bubbled with enthusiasm, scraped together a pencil and a notepad, and started sketching the outline of a story to tell at the festival. Maybe I'll become a writer, you know, or a poet. After all, it seems to be in our blood. If my sister eventually settles on a career and sticks with it, it would feel anticlimactic. The world is full of boring and reliable people like me, who plan, anticipate and act responsibly, but it's people like Denise who make life interesting and exciting, and without whom existence would feel very dull. So I'm going to watch my sister be a writer-poet for a few months until the next exciting project catches her eye. Can we go to the beach? What, now? Why not? These two words encapsulated Denise's spirit and made it perfectly clear why I could never be like her. It never occurred to me to do something for no reason other than I felt like it. I thought you had plans with your theater friends. Got canceled. They went back to the mainland for a couple of weeks. They want to see the Isle of Skye after that. Can we go? I'm going to get whiplash. Fine. Be that way. I have to work on my stories, anyway. Maybe I'll write a play script, you know, for when they come back.